We're turning in God's Word to the book of Joshua and the chapter 14. Book of Joshua, chapter 14. We decided to bring a little series of messages on the subject of Hebron, the name of our church, and think about important lessons that we can learn from this place that we read about in various parts of the Bible. We're coming to Hebron, the city of Caleb, and to message 3 today. Joshua chapter 14, and we will begin to read at verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord, my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord, my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. May God bless the reading of his precious and infallible book. Let's bow together briefly. Our God and Father, we pray more than ever that our minds and hearts will be settled down into thy word. We thank thee for a book that lives, a book that is unlike any other book that we have in the world, a book that is set apart from all literature. Because what we have in our hands this day is the word of the living God. We thank thee for it, for its truth, its precepts, all that we learn. We pray that thou would grant us a greater capacity to take in thy word and make us men and women and young people of the book. We pray that we will love thy word, that we will know it, that we will hide it deeply in our hearts, that we will live by it. Help us to obey, to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Give help to the preacher now as we turn to thy word today. Help us, Lord, to bring this message for Jesus' sake and for his glory. Amen. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. taking verse 14 for our text. Sometimes certain places are associated with particular individuals, some of the outstanding characters of the Bible. Peniel will forever be associated with Jacob, who prayed the whole night through, wrestled with God. What a night that was for the Lord's servant there. Jericho is synonymous with the name of Joshua. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Ebenezer with Samuel, and the stone of help that was set up, acknowledging the goodness of God in a time of great need. Uz is associated with Job, the patriarch, for he was from that land. Nineveh, associated with Jonah, who was called upon to preach condemnation to that city. Nazareth in the New Testament with Joseph and Mary. Bethlehem with Christ where he was born. Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus. Patmos Island with the beloved John, the disciple who was banished there for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, and so on and so forth through the scriptures. Hebron is associated with three major Bible characters: Abraham, Caleb, and David. Abraham, over 1900 years before Christ. Caleb, about 1500 years before the Savior's coming. And David, about 1055 BC. Hebron was associated with Abraham and his family. It was one of the first places where the great patriarch resided when he arrived in Canaan. And thus it is the site of the oldest Jewish community in the world. The Cave of Machpelah was located there, which was purchased by Abraham from Ephron the Hittite for 400 silver shekels. Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, and Jacob and Leah are all buried there. And according to a Jewish tradition, we have nothing to substantiate this, but they tell us that Adam and Eve were also buried in that same cave. Hebron, of course, was associated with David, and we'll come to this in our study, who was anointed king in that city and reigned there for the first 7 years of his monarchy, or 7.5 years. Between the times of Abraham and David, this ancient city of the Jews was associated with Caleb. Joshua gave this city to him, who led his tribe forth to conquer the city. And Joshua chapter 14 records the history of Hebron becoming the possession of Caleb. Verse 13 tells us that Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. We've been considering the name that we have given to our church here in Ballymoney. And we've been asking the question, what kind of a place do we want this church to be? Last week we thought about Hebron, the city of refuge, a place where men and women may find the Savior. Christ is the great city of refuge. Today we're thinking about the city of Caleb. And here's a man who is particularly noted for possessing this outstanding testimony that is recorded here in verse 14, that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. In fact, it is mentioned several times in this chapter. I think it's somewhere in the region of 4 times in our Bible reading. We want our Hebron to be filled with men and women and young people who wholly follow the Lord. That is, they put God first. The Lord is more important than anything else or anyone else. Such a man goes through with God. He stands in an evil day. He becomes absorbed in the Lord's work. He makes sacrifices. He is prepared to pay the cost. I want to be a Caleb in this Hebron, and I want you to be like him too. May you wholly follow the Lord, come what may. But what does it mean to wholly follow the Lord? What kind of a man was Caleb? who earned this wonderful testimony that is forever inscribed in Holy Writ and upon our minds and our hearts. I want to share some thoughts with you that the Lord impressed upon my heart concerning this man and how he wholly followed the Lord. First of all, he wholly followed the Lord when the majority failed to do so. Look at verse 8 of the narrative that we read together. Here he's making testimony, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." Numbers chapter 13 records the history of Moses sending out the spies into the land of Canaan. Israel had not long started her march toward the promised land. 12 men were chosen, one from each tribe, to search out the land. And among them were two stalwarts of the faith, Joshua and Caleb. However, the other 10 men were weak men. It certainly could not be written of them in any shade or fashion that they wholly followed the Lord. Far from it. To the contrary, their eyes were not upon God. Rather, they walked by sight. Consequently, when they came into the beautiful land of Canaan, though they testified to its suitability and the abundance of good things that were there, for it was indeed a land flowing with milk and honey, and a place of excellent produce when you think of the fruit of that land, yet these 10 spies could only see the strong inhabitants, the fortified cities, and the mighty giants who lived there. Numbers chapter 13 records this. Let me read to you just three verses, 27, 28, and 29 of Numbers 13. "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." But there was a man there, a man whose heart was right with God, a man who was strong in the Lord, a man who wholly followed God, and he stands up to quell the situation. And in verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and he said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." This is the kind of resolve and determination that men have who wholly follow the Lord, who put God first in everything. Sadly, the 10 faint-hearted men who had no faith in God continued with their evil report. By nightfall, the destructive report spread through the whole camp, and it had a detrimental influence. And I want you to note in passing that faithlessness, faint-heartedness, and fearfulness in the hearts of weak men can have a bad effect on others. Complaining and murmuring and negativity is contagious, and it was here. So harmful was the report of the 10 spies that Israel wept the whole night through. Wives, no doubt, were sobbing as they thought of their husbands being killed in battle and their children being left fatherless. Right across the camp, you could hear the sound of lamentation and anguish. When the morning came, the men were ready to rebel, select a new leader, and return to Israel. This is how men, even majorities whose eyes are not on the Lord, can influence other people. But in the midst of the alarm and fear and confusion, there are two men who have their eyes firmly upon the Lord, these men who wholly followed God. And in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 6, "Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. God was not pleased with the reaction of these 10 spies and how they influenced Israel. In fact, the Lord purposed to send pestilence and smite Israel and disinherit them and raise up another nation through Moses. But Moses interceded, pleading with God for mercy. And so we read in verse 18 of Numbers 14 how that Moses pleaded, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now." And the Lord said, "I have pardoned according to thy word. But truly as I live," and you go on to read how, though God was gracious and he spared the people on this occasion, that none of them of that generation would enter into the promised land except for Caleb and Joshua, who wholly followed the Lord, and the young children of that time. The man who wholly follows the Lord when the majority fails to do so. This is the kind of men and women that we want here in Hebron. There's another thing I want you to notice. He wholly followed the Lord as one who was strong for the battle. We read in our reading in Joshua chapter 14 in verse 11 how that Caleb says, "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." You know, I read that and I must confess I found it to be truly amazing. Caleb testifies to the state of his health at the age of 85. He says that he was just as strong at 85 as when he was 40 years old. Can you believe that? You know, most men who reach 60 cannot do what they used to do whenever they were 40. I wouldn't like to single anybody out in this meeting, but if you just ask our retired ministers, they don't mind being used as examples. And both Mr. Stewart and Dr. Kearns will say, and they're nowhere near 85, by the way, just in case you think they're like this man, but they will tell you they can't do what they once were able to do at the age of 40. But Caleb could. Caleb had a strong constitution. He was ready for the battle. He was able for the battle. We know that Moses was still firing on all cylinders at the age of 120. And the last chapter of Deuteronomy, which records his death, tells us how that Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And Caleb was like that. At the age of 85, he was strong and healthy. He was ready for the war. He was willing to face the strongest foe and fight the greatest battle. The man who wholly followed the Lord was a strong man. I want you to see that. God gave him unusual strength for his years. The strength, true strength in the Christian life, strength for the battle, all lies in our relationship to the Lord. Talking here about spiritual strength, what it is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How do we deal with our weakness? How do we deal with our natural inability? How do we deal with our feebleness in the battle for God? We have no strength of our own. We are no match for the enemies that surround us, the world, the flesh, and the devil. How do we overcome? We be like Caleb. We wholly follow the Lord. And that will be reflected in our daily walk with God, the places we go, the things that we do, the people that we mix with. The man who wholly follows the Lord will be loyal to Jesus Christ. in all things. Loyal to the place of Bible study and prayer. Loyal to God's house. Loyal to holy living. Bringing glory to God through a sanctified life. And we can only do this by God's grace, by keeping our eyes on the Lord. The Christian who wholly follows Christ will be strong for the battle. As strong today as ever he was, if not stronger, as we grow in grace day by day. He wholly followed the Lord as one who was strong for the battle. That's the kind of Calebs we want in this church. And then certainly he wholly followed the Lord, holding on to the promises of God. In verse 6, the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea." Caleb was given a promise, you see, 45 years before this. They wandered in the wilderness for many years, 40 years altogether. Another 5 years has passed by in their conquest for Canaan. And all the time, Caleb is holding on to the promise of God. He believed the word that was given unto him all those years ago. A believer who is like Caleb, who wholly follows the Lord, will cling to the promises of God. Has the Lord given you a promise? Has he put a word in your heart? Maybe that promise is to do with your unconverted loved ones. Maybe the promise is to do with the work of God in this house. Our forefathers, many of them who have passed on from this scene of time, they had promises. I think of that promise that was given nearly 60 years ago to Sandy McCauley, "Though thy beginning is small, yet thy latter end shall greatly increase." We've got to hold on to the promises of God, cling to his word. George Mueller of Bristol is an outstanding man of faith and prayer. He was a man who believed the promises of God, a man who pleaded the promises of God, who held on to the promises of God. He prayed for the salvation of 5 personal friends. Now, of course, he prayed for many people. We are told that thousands of people were converted to Christ through the prayers of George Mueller, but there were 5 people, close friends in particular, whom he prayed for, that the Lord might have mercy upon them. After 5 years seeking God on their behalf, pleading with the Lord, there was one of them came to know Christ as Savior. After 10 years, there was another 2 who were converted. For another 25 years, he continued praying for the other 2 men, and then the 4th was saved. Until his death, he did not cease to intercede for the conversion of the 5th man. And a few months after he died, the 5th man was saved. Holding on, pleading the promises of God. My friends, be like Caleb. Hold on to the promise. Do not give up. What kind of church do we want to have here in our Hebron? We want a church that is filled with Calebs. Men and women, young people, who were just like this man. Men who believe the promises of God. But fourthly, and following on from what I've just said, he wholly followed the Lord even though many years had passed by. Look at verse 10. "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old." Caleb not only started well in his conquest for the promised land at the age of 40, but I want you to see that he continued steadfastly following the Lord. 45 years later, he is still as zealous and as faithful and as hearty as he ever was. Look at him way back there at the age of 40 and the zeal that he had to take the city, knowing that God could give him the city. See him now at the age of 85, and he's just the same. The trouble with many Christians who start out well in the Christian life is that as the years roll on, their zeal and their enthusiasm for the Lord diminishes. So easy to fall into a spiritual rut. And often older Christians can lose the vision, can lose the burden and the desire. Some of them even lose their way altogether in the Christian life. Not so with Caleb. 45 years have passed and he's still full of enthusiasm. He is still ready to fight the battle. He's still willing to go through with God. And that's the kind of Christian that I want to be. And we want our church to be filled with Christians who not only start out well and who go on with the Lord for a while, but persevere. We believe in the perseverance of the saints. It is interesting to note that the scriptures do not speak about the death of Caleb, but they tell us about him when he's an old man of 85 and how that he was still strong in the Lord, a strong warrior for God. Although Caleb was old, he was vigorous and he was mighty in battle. And of course, that illustrates to us the perseverance of the saints. To wholly follow God means to persevere. We're not to grow weary in well-doing. We're to keep at the task. We are to fight the good fight of faith. We are to continue with the Lord. Here's a man who wholly followed God. Take his example, even though all these years have passed by. And then notice, as you look there at verse 11, he wholly followed the Lord, even though it meant hardship. Look at what he says here in verse 11 again. Yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. He was ready to fight at the age of 85. He didn't retire from the battle. He didn't shy away from the difficulty. He didn't plead his years. Lord, am I an old man, or I'm just getting on in years and I'm not ready for this kind of fight or this kind of war. He didn't give up. Caleb conquered Hebron by defeating the ancient race of giants that dwelt there. And this was no easy task. Certainly not for an old man. Only a man who wholly follows the Lord can face the battle. The Christian life is not always easy. There are trials and testing times, troubles and tribulations. And often the way is hard for the child of God. Opposition can be severe. Persecution can be hurtful. The battle intense. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? We are called upon to fight the Lord's battles, to wage war against Satan, to face many a problem and distressing situation. Paul told young Timothy to endure hardness as the good soldier of Jesus Christ. The man that wholly follows the Lord will be like this. Notice sixthly that he followed the Lord as a man of faith. He wholly followed the Lord as a man of faith. In verse 12, he says, "Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." In making this appeal to Joshua for Hebron, "Give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day," he reminded Joshua about what the Lord had promised 45 years previously. And Caleb, as we've seen, was holding on to the promise of God. He was holding on to that promise by faith. As he faces the hardship and struggle of conquering this city, remembering the giants of this place, the Anakims, and how well fortified the city was, he declares with unwavering confidence and trust in God, If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. Battles belong to God. Victories belong to a power that is completely outside man. They come from above. Overcoming power belongs to the sovereign Lord who sits upon the throne of His glory, ordering all that comes to pass on the earth. It is the Lord who gives strength for the battle. Caleb, this dear man who wholly followed the Lord, has his eye upon God. His faith is firmly fixed upon the one that he served and worshipped, the God of glory. Notice the explicit mention of the Lord in his words. The Lord spake, the Lord will be with me, as the Lord said. And it was the same 45 years previously. Caleb and Joshua by faith were looking to the Lord then. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land. Rebel ye not against the Lord is with us. The 10 spies didn't even mention the Lord. They only mentioned what they saw. The strong people, the great walls, the children of Anak, the mighty giants, and how they felt in comparison. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Caleb saw exactly what those men saw. So did Joshua, the giant men of stature, and the heavily fortified cities. But this man, who wholly followed the Lord, was looking through the lenses of faith. He saw the Lord. He saw himself walking into the future, not alone, but leaning on the God of his salvation. A Christian who wholly follows the Lord will be a person who trusts God. His faith will be anchored firmly in the Lord God Jehovah. If we are to follow God properly, holy, with all our hearts, we will trust Him, come what may. We will be able to look beyond the mighty giants that stand before us. We'll look beyond all the other obstacles that come across our path. Our eye will be upon an omnipotent God who is able to do all things, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. He's a God of unlimited power. There's nothing too hard with Him. And therefore, all things are possible to him that can, in Jesus' name, believe. We have the impossible case of the poor demoniac that we read about in Mark chapter 9. His case was humanly impossible. There was nothing that this man could do, nothing that any man could do. No doctor or physician, no consultant or expert, no authority from the field of medicine, science, philosophy, or religion could help him. Not even the disciples. They failed through unbelief. But the father of the child did not give up. And he brought his son directly to Christ, and he makes his appeal to him. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. What did Jesus say? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the father in weakness cried out, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And a cure was effected. Caleb believed God. Caleb saw beyond the problems and the difficulties. And this is what we need to do in our Hebron. Men who wholly follow the Lord, who have a faith that is firm and resolute. May God give us such men and women in this place. Think of what could be accomplished if we believe God. The giants would be as nothing. The devil's fortifications would come tumbling down. We would break through the strongholds of the enemy. The mountains would be removed. You think of that passage in Mark chapter 11 and verse 22 where Jesus said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. I want to be a Caleb. I want to be a man who wholly follows the Lord. A man who has his faith firmly fixed in the Lord. And then finally, as I thought about this man who wholly followed the Lord and what we want our Hebron to be like, he wholly followed the Lord, and the Lord gave the victory. Because we read in verse 12, "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And he did. The Lord did go on to give him the victory. The man that overcomes, the man who obtains the victory, the man who is given, if we can use the word, success in the Lord's work, is the man who wholly follows the Lord. Caleb took the city of Hebron. It wasn't an easy task. It was a real battle. You think of the walls, think of the fortifications, think of the giants. But God gave the victory. Caleb and his army may have been like grasshoppers in comparison. They may have been outnumbered. They didn't have the same expertise, skill, or ability. But that doesn't matter when God is on your side. If God be for us, who can be against us? It doesn't matter how formidable the army might be, how strong the opposition, how fortified their defenses, how proficient in arms, how giant-like in stature, God can give success. In fact, one with God, as it has often been said, is a majority. There are three giants named in this history. You go on to read about them in Joshua chapter 15 and in verse 14. And how that Caleb drove out thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai, the children of Anak. Why are they named? Because we're not given any other kind of detail about these men in all the Bible. So why do their names appear here? I believe because they were well known. They were legends among the giants. They have notable reputations. And probably the sheer mention of their name caused men to quake. But Caleb fearlessly drove them out. Doubtless the story was told over and over again around campfires. Do you remember what happened in Caleb's time when Caleb drove out the three sons of the giant? I wonder, are you living today in the victory of the Christian life? Are you an overcomer? Do you see the enemy defeated? Are the strongholds of Satan being pulled down? Are the giants falling at your feet? Are the walls tumbling down? Is God giving you the victory again and again? Do you know what it is to be more than a conqueror through Him, through Christ, our blessed Savior? Only the Caleb-like Christian will know these things. The child of God who wholly follows the Lord. And my prayer, and I'm sure it's the prayer of many here, is, Lord, give us such men in our Hebron. Men like Caleb. Men who wholly follow the Lord. For this is the kind of person that God blesses. This is the kind of church that God blesses. And so as we think of Hebron, we think of Caleb. As we think of Caleb, we think of the man who wholly followed the Lord. We look at his life, we study his character, we see those things that we discover in him. And we say, Lord, apply them to our lives. Help us to be like this outstanding man of God. And may our Hebron here in Ballymoney just be like the Hebron of the Bible, who had a man of God, Caleb, who wholly followed.